I think this morning may the spoken and written word lead us to the living world, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The gospel that we have just read, you may sit, please. I thought everybody knew we just sit now. The little portion of the gospel that we have just read is relatively short. I didn't count how many lines it was, but it's not really very many. It's like a handful. But to me, it's one of the most profound and most critical little pieces in the gospel. Because embedded in those few words, those few lines, in that little piece of the gospel which we read this morning, is embedded almost the epitome of what Christianity is. It's got some profound meaning within it. It makes Christianity what it actually is today, 2,000 years later. Now, if we go back to the gospel and what it's actually starting to say to us and what the context is, this is Christ talking to his followers, to his disciples. Probably at the Last Supper, they are seated. Well, seated is not quite the correct word in terms of the way things worked in those days in the Middle East. They would be sort of semi-reclining on cushions in a semicircle, in a sort of a horseshoe shape. And Christ would be at, call it the head or the top of the horseshoe, and he would have his disciples around him. And there would be a low table in the middle where the bread and wine, etc., would be. And he was discussing various issues with them. And one of the things that he has said to them previously is that he is going. He is going to disappear. And they didn't really get it. He repeated this on a number of occasions. And sitting there on this occasion, he says to them again that he's going. That very soon, he's not going to be there. He's not going to be physically sitting there at the table with them. But not to worry. He says, I'm soon to be gone, and I'm not going to be visible to people out there. But not to worry. I'm still going to, in fact, be there. And he says to them, I'm going to take care of you. And he says to them, in terms of the words in the text, I will not leave you orphaned. I'm coming to you. Now, orphan creates an impression to me of somebody who is alone, no one to care for them, bad things, bad life, not good. But Christ says, I'm not going to leave you like that. You are not going to be alone. I'm going to look after you. Even though I'm going to be gone from your presence, so to speak, not like it is right now, I'm going to be gone from here, but I'm not going to be gone. I'm not going to leave you alone. However, he also says to them that there are a couple of things that they have to fulfill in order to achieve that. First of all, they must love him. And they must keep his commandments. And if they do so, he will be there for them. Now, to understand that little piece, we actually need to go back a little bit. A piece that's in a chapter just before this, where he said in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, he said, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And that puts into context what he was actually saying in this paragraph, that you need to keep my commandment. You need to love me as Christ, and you need to love one another. And that is a very important and profound set of words in terms of what Christianity is meant to be. So, they had to do two things. They had to love one another, but they also had to love Christ. And therefore there is a duty. If we want to be Christians, there is a duty that we have to not only love one another, but we also have to love Christ. But if they show love as instructed, how does this make Christ be with them again? Because this is part of what he said. He said, I will be with you. I'm going away, but I'm not going away. So how is this possible? And this is where we come to perhaps the other really profound issue in this short text. And an issue which has almost defined Christianity in terms of how we believe. It's an issue which took up a whole lot of the early church's time in around about 350 AD. And that is, Christ will provide another advocate, the Spirit. In fact, he goes even further, saying, I am the Father, you in me, and I in you. Does this sound familiar? This is effectively encapsulating the Trinity. And it's a very profound issue. It's the issue that the Council of Nicaea spent a long time arguing about and working on in round about 350 AD. There was a lot of argument in the church in terms of what is Christ? Who was Christ? This is like 350 years after the event. So now it's a number of generations and Christianity has started spreading across the world. And now there are arguments as to who was this guy? And what did he actually come to tell us? And what does it mean to be following this person? And there were a lot of arguments. And eventually the emperor, Constantine, said, listen, I want all the bishops to come together and I want you to sort this out so that we know exactly where we are going. And that was the Council of Nicaea. And he brought all these people together and they argued this issue and eventually came to the conclusion that, yes, God and Christ are one. And the Holy Spirit is enveloped in this. And that brings us to the Trinity. And it brings us to the Nicene Creed. So a very profound component of what we believe in as Christians came out of these words in this short paragraph. So Christ also extends this offer, not only from his disciples 2,000 years ago, but to all of those who love him. And that obviously includes us. We have to obey his command. We have to love him. And we have to love one another. And then we will receive the Holy Spirit. God will be in us. God will be with us. And will take care of us. And in reading from 1 Peter, we're told to remember not to fear. Even if we suffer for what is doing right, we are blessed. Because in order to do this, we may very well end up, and if you think through the ages, people have ended up suffering for doing what they believe is right, for loving one another, for trying to create love and tolerance in the world. People have suffered. But Peter is saying not to fear. God will be with you. and you will be blessed. So, going back to the gospel text, what is this picture that we see? I think that we see an impending separation, a loss of a friend, potential loneliness, and fear. Again, thinking of the context in which this took place and the problems that were occurring in society at the time with not only the Roman rulers, but within the religion, the Hebrew religion at the time, and the conflict of this group with some of the people within the Hebrew religion at the time, things weren't good for them. So there would have been a fear. Their leader, this guider, says he's going away. So there would have been a fear. All expressed in the term of an orphan. But then we see that this does not have to be that way. Through love, between each of us and between ourselves and God, we will be blessed by the Holy Spirit enveloping and protecting us. Even if things become difficult in life, we will still be blessed by God. And if we look around us in what we see right now in 2017 around us in the world, I think love and kindness is maybe a little bit in short supply. If you think of all the places in the world where there's trouble, there are plenty of these places. There's conflict, there's destruction of people, of families, and their livelihoods. There's destruction of the environment. In all these cases, there is a lack of care and respect for people and our environment. And I think this gives us a clear message. We need to go out and spread the word through the love of God and the love of each other. And then God will be with us now and forever. Amen.